Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we take a look at interfaith and multicultural goddesses. I give thanks to everyone who is joining me live on Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, and to everyone who's joining me live on my Selena Fox Updates page, my main page on Facebook. I'm trying out some new technology tonight, and hopefully all will go well. I give thanks to Jeanette Ewing, who is doing the engineering tonight. I begin tonight's examination of international, interfaith, and multicultural goddesses with a goddess chant that I created many years ago. It has some things in common with some other forms of chants that work with the divine in different directions. And I call this chant the Goddess Energy Chant Dance. It was part of the Goddess 2000 project many moons ago that Abby Willow Root, who's now in the realm of the ancestors, helped birth. It was an international, interreligious, and multicultural goddess spirituality event. And I'll do this Goddess Energy Chant Dance several times. If you're in a place that you want to follow along with me, I invite you to do so. The goddess is above me. The goddess is below me. The goddess is before me. The goddess is behind me. The goddess is around me. The goddess is within me. The goddess is within me. The goddess is around me. The goddess is above me. The goddess is below me. The goddess is before me. The goddess is behind me. The goddess is around me. The goddess is within me. The goddess is within me. The goddess is around me. The goddess is above me. The goddess is below me. The goddess is before me. The goddess is behind me. The goddess is around me. The goddess is within me. The goddess is within me. The goddess is around me. One, the goddess. The goddess is one, the goddess in many forms. Goddess blessings. I'm doing this workshop via my Nature Spirituality podcast on CSNP and my Facebook live stream to Selena Fox Updates on February 3rd, 2021. This is part of the United Nations World Interfaith Harmony Week. And every year, for the first 7 days of February, people around the world come together for conversations and ceremonies for conferences and other events. Since the pandemic's going on, those are online, to take a look at the interfaith realm. So what is the interfaith realm? I'd like to share some understandings about this. Sometimes interfaith is known as multi-religious, and sometimes it is expanded to be very universalist. So it goes beyond faith traditions per se and organized religion to also include spirituality and free thought. I use interfaith in a more global, universal way. And interfaith is the convergence of diversity of belief, of practitioners, of communities, of traditions for mutual understanding, collaboration, and ideally some joined action to work for a better world. And the United Nations World Interfaith Harmony Week was founded specifically to help build those bridges of understanding and connection and collaboration and cooperation amongst individuals and people of many beliefs around the world. The term multicultural is a convergence of different cultures. Cultures grow and evolve through time, as do religious, spiritual, and philosophical traditions. So as I take this look at interfaith and multicultural goddesses around the world, we also add time to it. And as you will find out, as I share some additional perspectives and experiences, that things change over time. There may be some commonalities, but things can evolve. And that's what is really exciting about taking a look at the divine in feminine forms across time, across cultures, and across elite systems and around the world. I first started using the term interfaith goddess and multicultural goddess many years ago, early on in my goddess studies. I noticed that in addition to very particular goddesses being rooted in a very particular culture and time period and place and religion in the world, that goddesses, and this applies to a whole range of divinities, male deities and those with no gender or multi-genders or gender fluid, there can be adaptation and transformation. I began to find, as I traveled the world, not only through communications, but physically went to places around the world, that some goddess forms, which had their origins in a totally different part of the world, were being honored, being worshipped as part of a variety of religions amongst people of different languages and ethnicities. And so I celebrate 21 UN World Interfaith Harmony Week this year with a celebration of goddesses in particular that have emerged and developed and that are beloved around the world and bringing people of different backgrounds together in spiritual celebration. I have an altar of some multicultural and interfaith goddesses with me. And those of you who are tuning in to the audio podcast, I invite you to use your imagination. And those of you who are on Facebook will actually have a chance to see some of these images. And I do hope to post a photo or so, in addition to having this archived up on my main Facebook page, so that those of you who are interested in finding out more will have the opportunity to do so. This is just a small sampling of interfaith and multicultural goddesses. And how did I come to select these? Because I've done sacred work with these particular forms of the divine and happen to have these images in my collection. We are celebrating the ancient Celtic festival of Imbolc or Imbolc, Candlemas, as it was known in the early contemporary pagan period of the 1960s and 70s, and also known back in the Middle Ages. St. Bridget's Day, Bridget's Day, Bridget's Feast, Bridget's Night. This holiday has a variety of different ways that it's celebrated and times that it's celebrated. But in the Northern Hemisphere, the celebration happens in late January and early February. So I'm continuing to celebrate this holiday and the form of the divine that is most closely associated with it, that form of the divine being Bridget. I have an image of Bridget, an iconic image crafted by a pagan many years ago that combines different attributes and symbologies connected with Bridget, the ancient pagan Celtic goddess, but also the Christian saint. She is a goddess of the hearth, of fire, of the sun, a goddess of transformation, of goldsmithing and ironsmithing, blacksmithing. She has an anvil in this picture. She's a goddess of learning, of writing, of poetry, of music, of inspiration, a bardic goddess. And she is a goddess connected with water as well as fire, the land, and the breath. In fact, she was said to invent whistling in some of her lore. So Bridget herself is bridging the paganism of the past, the Christianity that followed, and now I actually see her as one of these interfaith, multicultural goddesses. Where did her worship begin? Who were the first people to celebrate Bridget? Well, some scholars place some of the peoples, and there was a tribe known as the Brigantes people, in the Alps, in what's now known as Switzerland. But we find the Brigantes also having, perhaps they migrated over to southeastern England and in southeastern Ireland. So there's actually multiple places in old Europe that have names that link directly to this goddess. You may have heard of a place known as Bridewell, a sacred well that's connected to Bridget. And there are streams and rivers and ponds and water bodies connected with her. And one of the real powerful things about Bridget as goddess and saint, as an interfaith and multicultural goddess, is that she's a goddess of light. And regardless of your belief system, your orientation, you can work with her in that capacity, as well as in some of her other aspects. Her sacred place at Kildare was said to have been an ancient pagan holy site dedicated to the goddess, with a sacred fire that was kept burning by priestesses of Bridget, and a holy well. Well, the well is there and continues to be revered, and the fire that was kept burning in pagan times and then transformed into a fire kept by Roman Catholic nuns, well, it got rekindled in the 1990s and is tended to this day. So there's sacred fire there, a sacred well there, and I can, while I haven't gone there in this life, there are people part of the Circle Sanctuary community that have made the journey to Kildare, the Church of the Oak, as it's known in Gaelic. So is Bridget pagan? Is Bridget Christian? Is Bridget a composite, transcending those different forms of religion? All of the above. And it depends on the practitioner. But one of the wonderful things about working with an interfaith and or multicultural goddess, and she is both, is that you can converge diversity in ways that are different than when you're working within a tradition with a particular deity form very aligned with a particular tradition, unless it's a universalist one. So I celebrate Bridget and her many facets across time. And certainly Celtic areas have people that are celebrating right now and have been over the past week. Some people celebrate January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd. It's February 3rd right now. I'm going to celebrate for a few more days. I happen to be a priestess of Bridget and celebrate her year-round. But at this holy time, it's really powerful to be able to connect with her in in-depth, in some specific ways with her different attributes. And how perfect that the UN's World Interfaith Harmony Week coincides with her sacred holiday. I have given presentations and have facilitated rituals honoring Bridget at a variety of interfaith events, including at the Parliament of the World's Religions. And I called on her and did a presentation in Cape Town, South Africa at that event. And it was wonderful to have the room filled not only with pagans and Roman Catholic nuns, but people of other religions who really found a resonance with Bridget through the workshop. And many people had joined in because they had already been working with her. Now, in some traditions, she has worked with as a women's goddess. In other traditions, men and women and people of multiple gender identifications will work with Bridget, and she brings together people of many paths. So I celebrate Bridget in her many guises and celebrate her creativity as a sacred form of being able to transform from a pagan goddess to a Christian saint as Ireland and some other Celtic realms became Christianized, and she is transformed again with the emergence of the global women's spirituality movement that celebrates the goddess as divine, as one and as many. So Bridget worship and honoring is alive and well. part of what I was able to do last night. Some people call it Candlemas, so some people know it as Groundhog's Day. There was another part of my MWOC. I took part in a variety of celebrations online. My friend and bard friend Celia did a fabulous evening with Bridget music that she had crafted and ritual, and she too celebrated Bridget in as a form of the divine that converges the pagan and the Christian. And as I continued my evening after that event and had the opportunity to listen to a lot of Celtic pagan music, I took a look at some of the images that were being put on social media, mostly on Instagram, and I saw Bridget in many forms depicted, different forms of art and people sharing invocations and poetry. And I truly had the experience more than any other time that I've been celebrating MWOC of connecting with Bridget alive in our world today in a very universal form. People from many countries and a variety of different religions, spiritualities, and philosophies all celebrating her and the sacred time. So it was just a really fabulous thing to do. And for those of you who like to do social media, I invite you in exploring this goddess to just put in the hashtag Bridget, B-R-I-G-I-D. It has a variety of spellings, and you'll get quite an range of images that are all connected with Bridget. But I have some additional forms of goddesses here that have emerged in our world today as interfaith and multicultural goddesses. The Great Mother. This is one of her forms. In ancient Egypt, she was known as Aset, but as her worship spread from Egypt around the Mediterranean realm, during the time of Greek spread of the Greek civilization and then the Roman civilization. So in the Greco-Roman world, she was most commonly known as Isis. And Isis started evolving as an interfaith and multicultural goddess back in ancient times. And she might be known locally by some different names. And in some cases, as her worship spread to an area, she absorbed and merged with the goddess of that particular locale. And that's why you get a lot of different depictions of Isis. And certainly the ancient Egyptian religion existed for several thousand years, and people are practicing it in contemporary forms now, and it continues to evolve. So Isis started becoming very popular as a form of goddess in the ancient world, temples created for her and shrines. And as her worship spread, so did the stories, the sacred stories connected with her. For many people who are working with the goddess as all mother, she became an all mother goddess with many attributes. And that is the case today. A friend of mine now in the other world, she died a number of years ago, Olivia Robertson, founded the Fellowship of Isis along with her brother, Lawrence, a year after I founded Circle. And we interlocked our network. I became part of the Fellowship of Isis and years later, as I actually got to meet Olivia, we converged in Chicago, Illinois, USA. She initiated me into the Fellowship of Isis, so I became one of the priestesses officially there, and she has been one of our beloved elder mothers within the Circle Sanctuary community. And they chose Isis for the name of their network because of her universality. Because she was around the world, multilingual, international, multicultural, and interreligious. So of all the different forms of interfaith and multicultural goddesses, she was the one that they picked as the prime goddess for that organization. As Isis worship spread across Europe and Africa and the Middle East and other parts of the world in ancient times, many people worked with her personal devotions as well as in households and in communities. As Christianity took hold in the Roman Empire, the old Isis sites, temples, and shrines either were shut down, or what usually happened is they got transformed into Christian sacred places, and they often became Mary shrines, the last of the active Isis sacred sites in classical times was in Egypt, and it became a place to honor Mary. And so as we talk about Isis, we also need to talk about Mary. And yes, according to Christian tradition, she's Jewish, and she gave birth to Jesus. As Christianity has gone around the world, she has taken a variety of different forms, just like Isis did in the classical time and continues to this day. One of the forms of Mary that combines an indigenous mother goddess with Mary is Our Lady of Guadalupe out of Mexico. And there is the story of Juan Diego, who sees the vision of the Virgin Mary, and seeks to understand about this. I won't go through the whole story, that's well documented as stories go, whether you call it history or myth or combo. But what's really powerful is he got his vision of this form of Mary at the feast time of Tenancen, the Aztec corn maize mother. And he saw a composite goddess, essentially, but had the framework to call her Mary, and there were roses on a cloak and all sorts of wonderful things connected with this discovery, as the lore goes. And I see that Our Lady of Guadalupe, who has roots in Old Mexico, is another example of a form of the divine feminine that has brought together different faith traditions. Here you have indigenous Mexican goddess merging with Mary in the Christian, Roman Catholic in particular, tradition. And as people from Mexico who resonate with her have gone to other parts of the world, she is, and her worship and honoring has gone around the world as well. Part of my Yuletide celebrations, I also see her as a form of Yuletide Great Mother, for that vision happened in December. And while we're talking about the Christian-pagan connection, indigenous connection, let's take a look at Yemaya. Different ways to pronounce her name, different spellings of her name, and I have her here in the form of a mermaid goddess, the great mother of the ocean. So it is said that she has her origins amongst the Yoruban people in West Africa. And as people from Africa came over to the Americas, often, unfortunately, not by choice, the deities, the Orishas, from traditional religion, African traditional religion, came over to the Americas. So with Yemaya, she is very global, not only having African roots, but she has grown and evolved, and you'll find her throughout South America and North America, Central America, and other parts of the world. Now, people will celebrate her in different ways. I've heard from some who are living in Brazil that on New Year's Eve, people dress in white and go down to the ocean, well, pre-pandemic, to honor her. Some honor her as part of the carnival. Some have other traditions of honoring her. And the person who made this wonderful Yemaya image and gifted me with it is someone who practices Santeria. So a number of the Afro-Caribbean traditions have some form of her. Some say that Mama Wata is also roots in old Africa, is a form of her. And so she's interfaith and multicultural, multilingual, and international. My own connection with her goes back to my girlhood, always loving the ocean, and it turns out colors traditionally associated with her, blue and white, were colors that I also loved and enjoyed. And I had occasion to be aligned with her more deeply in a ceremony that we had at Pagan Spirit Gathering, where someone aligned with her was doing a ritual to help us understand the diversity in nature-oriented religions that bring together Christianity and indigenous ways. And this was at Pagan Spirit Gathering back in the 1990s. And the priest of Yemaya was from Canada, but the line had gone back into the Caribbean. And it was a very powerful ritual, and I came to know Yemaya even more as a result of taking part in that ceremony. And since that time, enhanced my way of working with her, doing pilgrimage to the ocean. I went there in my dreams in 2020. I hope to physically get to an ocean sometime in 2021 if everything comes together and we can put the pandemic behind us. But at full moon time, going to the ocean and taking beads given to me in the ceremony and dipping them in the ocean, calling to her. So you might say, well, Selena, you're aligned with a lot of different goddesses. How does that work? It depends on the context. Some people are from religious, spiritual, and philosophical traditions that are very specifically focused. And for them, it is best to stay specifically focused. But for myself, I've had a more universalist underpinning since my youth, and I have a number of alignments of goddesses and gods from different cultures, different time periods, and different parts of the world, which is how I came to have a number of these images and stories about working with the divine. So as I work with her, I have had direct experiences in dreams through actual contact with the ocean, doing ocean rituals. Probably one of the more dramatic ones was walking along the ocean and an amazing wave came up and I had my glasses on and the wave took my glasses away. I called on Yemaya and lo and behold, I walked down the shoreline a bit and there my glasses came back. I'm thankful for Yemaya's help. I don't always get answers from the divine that dramatically, but clearly as you make connections with the divine, listen to the wisdom within you, resonate and respect and honor those you connect with, and for ones that you sense and they sense are right to strengthen relationships with, well, that can be a wonderful way of evolving spiritual practice, not only for yourself, but in helping others. Now, for another part of the world. Also, early on, turning into an international, multicultural, multilingual, interreligious divinity, Kuan Yin. And this is a form of her that I have a whole altar to Kuan Yin and a related form, but also a distinct different goddess, but the two often converge together depending on the practitioner. Tara, Tibetan Buddhism has a strong resonance with her. Well, Kuan Yin, goddess of compassion, of mercy. This particular image I have actually has a hand that is removable. So if you want to have a connection with Kuan Yin and you have a statue like this, you can take the statue with you in your pocket until you come back home. I've seen statues of the Virgin Mary that have the same technique for being connected, literally getting a hand from the goddess. So Kuan Yin has roots in ancient China, but you will find Kuan Yin temples in many countries in Asia. And as we become more global as a human species, you will find Kuan Yin temples literally around the world. I first started understanding how some Americans came to work with this multicultural interreligious goddess. During the Vietnam War era, American servicemen and women who went overseas found themselves at times going into Kuan Yin temples, especially in talking with pagans who've been serving in the military. This was a way to connect with the Great Mother, to get healing and support. As with a number of divinities, one way of honoring a divinity is to chant the name of that divinity repeatedly as a way of invoking, of honoring, and deepening relationship with. Now, I have a variety of Kuan Yin images on the altars, and one has many arms on it, very fragile, so I've kind of left it. It's huge and fragile. And that looks more Hindu-like, having an India Hindu influence. And this depiction has the hairstyle of much more Japanese. And what I find is fascinating is how Kuan Yin has continued to morph and change as she has brought her loving compassion presence around the world. Now, in the United States of America, we have a variety of what some people would call American icons that actually began as pagan goddesses. And I have one of those here with me. No surprise for those of you who know about me and Circle Sanctuary and the Lady Liberty League that works for pagan rights and religious freedom. The Statue of Liberty is based on a goddess by the name of Libertas. And actually, Libertas comes from the ancient Roman pagan religion. She was the goddess of freedom, of liberty, Libertas. And when Lady Liberty League came into being in 1985, it was first called Pagan Strength Web, but as it grew and developed, the name Lady Liberty League came to me, and I felt, what a good way of honoring the work that we are doing to have equal rights for pagans of many paths in not only America, but around the world. So she has her roots, her origins in ancient Roman society, but there was an equivalent in ancient Greek society. And today you have a variety of forms of liberty depictions. The Statue of Liberty is the most iconic and most well-known in the USA, and her statue can give you an idea of what it might have been like over in some parts of Europe during classical pagan times, with a huge statue as a way of depicting the presence of the goddess. And some of the statues, of course, were for gods and ancestors and that. So Libertas, be with us. And so, yes, she's been associated with secular America, but actually has a spiritual origin. When democracy started emerging within China, with the student uprising in the late 1980s, students fashioned the goddess of democracy, inspired by this image of Lady Liberty. So Libertas, not only Lady Liberty, but goddess of democracy, has taken a variety of different forms. And I do think that regardless of what your political affiliation is, where you might be in the world, having some form of goddess that's connected with freedom can not only help bring about freedom in the world as a whole by having that presence, but as one seeks to look for liberation from things holding oneself back, a freedom goddess such as Libertas can be fabulous to work with. And also in America, a number of indigenous tribes and nations, some people call them First Peoples or Native American or American Indian, honor Mother Earth. And this is a sand painting from the Southwest, Navajo, Diné. And this is a depiction of Mother Earth, a very specific depiction within a particular people. I got this many years ago from the Smithsonian one of the gift shops, Museum of Natural History. I mean, this is long ago. And it was handcrafted by native artisans from that part of the world. And this gives you an example of a particular depiction of Mother Earth.
Well, I have another one, the Millennia
Gaia, that Oberon Zell designed, a pagan artisan and priest. And I have, and so this is a pagan, a very pagan version of Mother Earth. And you'll literally see her belly is pregnant and is the earth. And in her hair, there are all sorts of creatures depicted as well as tattooed on her body. So a form of Mother Nature right here on Mother Earth, Gaia. And you might have a similar form of the divine, Mother Earth, our home, but as that form of interfaith and multicultural goddess emerges with a people and in a particular area, it may have some very specific depictions that can look quite different from depictions in other parts of the world and at other time periods. So are they different goddesses? Are they the same goddess? Or a bit of both? I would say a bit of both.
Wow, I'll pick her back up here. Is not a very stable holder for. So as I am finishing giving you some images of examples of interfaith and multicultural goddesses, I'm going to go to Europe, back to Europe.
And this is one depiction of a goddess. She's connected with winter solstice. She's in a goose down cloak. It is Holda or Fra Holda. And you might say, well, how is she a multicultural goddess? How is she an interfaith goddess? Well, sometimes a goddess form goes into popular culture in a form that wouldn't necessarily even look like a female divinity, but a mythic, some other mythic figure. And her honoring is widespread in the form of Mother Goose. And clearly, as I was growing up, Mother Goose and the stories of Mother Goose were something near and dear to my heart. But Holda also morphed into some other gift givers, including Santa. She was a night flying winter solstice goddess and continues to be. So as you can tell by this quick overview of a variety of goddess forms, it can evolve over time, and all of these goddesses here are being honored in around the world in various ways. And I am so thankful for my connections with these particular goddesses, and they aren't the only ones I'm aligned with, but I share them here with you tonight as part of a celebration of the rich diversity within the realm of divinity, within the realm of human cultural experiences, in the realm of human life across the ages, and given that this is UN World Interfaith Harmony Week, really celebrating some commonalities across different religious, spiritual, and philosophical traditions.
So I've shared some thoughts. So how to work with a multicultural and interfaith goddess form from around the world? Well, one thing that I would suggest is, if you're interested in learning more and to get a sense of what you personally might have some deep resonance with, is to make some time once a week at least, or maybe even daily, for you to explore the divine and your existing alignments. You may want to take a look at ancestral heritage, stories that may be passed through your family, whether you have an adopted family or whether it is a birth family. Where did ancestors come from? What are some of the divine forms connected there? Another way of taking a look at divine alignments is your dreams and your meditations. Sometimes a form of the goddess will come in a way that may not be specifically linked to a culture that you recognize. The full moon mother, for example, and some cultures saw the full moon linked with a female divinity, some a male divinity. But as you would look at the great moon mother, call upon her, invite her to speak to you and to give you guidance as to what is a form or forms that really are compatible with your spiritual path. I see spirituality, spiritual practice, is something that is an evolving thing. And certainly in my life, as I look over the years, I've grown to understand different forms of the divine and ways to work with them. I know that there are different viewpoints for examining goddesses per se. Are they a human mental construct? Do they have a presence separate from human existence? For myself, I see a bit of both, that yes, humans help craft divinities and understanding connections with them and tell the stories and do the art. But yet, I see them as going beyond the human imagination to actually be forces within our world and the larger cosmos of which we are a part. I think keeping a journal of some kind as you do goddess studies or any type of spiritual studies can be a really useful thing and something that you might consider doing after this workshop concludes in a few minutes is to reflect on what you've heard, and if you're watching, what you've also seen. What stays with you? What has resonated with you? Something that you might want to think about some more, explore some more, and make a note of that. By making a note, it not only helps you remember, but it builds a connection between the here and now and your inner life. And it helps integrate your experiences with spirituality. Before signing off on this workshop, I do want to say a few words about cultural appropriation and misappropriation. Some people think that because some form of the divine exists, that they are entitled to work with the symbols and the rituals and other things connected with them just because they want to do so. I caution people to go about explorations in a way that honors the cultures from which different divinities have sprung. And ultimately, it's between you and the divinity. Sometimes a divinity calls to a human who is not part of a culture, is not part of the country even where the form of divinity is. And this form of divinity may be very specific, or it might be more universal, such as the forms that I've shared here. So I think it's important to be aware as you're working with sacred forms that it's important to be respectful and to take your time and not rush into it, and not to assume that just because you're interested, everything's going to be good. And just because you have a number of affiliations with in alignments with different forms of the divine, that those forms of the divine are going to work well together in one single ritual. So it depends on how you create the space for that to happen. There's many different facets about it. When I do interreligious ceremonies, I endeavor to have some things that draw us all together, as well as have times for individual specific expressions coming from different places and traditions, and ideally have the people who are practitioners of those traditions being the ones to bring forth that expression. So, with those things in mind, I invite you to have a good framework for your explorations and to be open to the goddess as one, as the great goddess, the goddess that's above us, the goddess that's below us, the goddess that's before us, the goddess that's behind us, the goddess that is all around us, the goddess that is within us, the goddess that is within us and all around us. I honor the goddess as one and as many. I honor the rich diversity of human life and experience through the ages. May we find good ways of learning about that diversity and good ways of deepening our alignments with those that are mutually compatible with us and the divinities that we are connecting with. And so I leave you with some ways of working with the Goddess Energy Chant Dance. When you hold your hands above your head and go, "The Goddess is above me," imagine the power of the goddess from the sky and the cosmos flowing down into you. As you direct your hands to the ground, experience yourself connecting with the goddess in all her diversity on the planet and drawing that up within you. When you have the goddess that is before you, look at what's before you and draw that in. If you're standing in a circle with people, you will see the goddess in the faces of others around you. Or if you're in a Zoom call or on a live stream, see the goddess in all the imagery that's before you. With the goddess behind you, in like fashion, you draw the goddess into you. She's the goddess forms that have your back, literally, that protect you. When you do the goddesses all around me, experience her power being all-encompassing. When you say goddess is within me, holding hands to your heart, you feel all that goddess power that you've worked with going deep within your being. And then when you repeat, "The goddess is within me," imagine yourself as a part of that goddess, radiating and resonating with her energy
So when you conclude with the goddesses all around me and move your hands all around, you become part of the goddess flow that you are dancing with. Thank you all for joining me for this free workshop on goddess spirituality. I give thanks to all who've been watching live and all who will be watching later. And if you have comments or questions, I invite you to put them in the comment section on the Facebook live stream, or for those of you who are listening only via our CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Internet Radio Network, you can email me, Selena, S-E-L-E-N-A, at circlesanctuary.org. Have a wonderful time and be safe, be well, goddess and goddesses bless.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.